Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Muy buenos dias. Wake up, America. It's Monday, December 12th. Good morning and welcome to a special edition of Morning Air on the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday here in the third week of Advent. Relevant Radio family, I hope you had a good weekend. It's great to be with you once again on this special feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. We've got a special show planned for you. In fact, it was on this day, December 12th of 2000, on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, that Relevant Radio got its first broadcast license. Our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, is going to join us in hour number two at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, to talk about the miraculous events of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Now, speaking of Father Rocky, we had a great annual Relevant Radio Christmas party last Friday night. It was a wonderful party. Glenn and Sarah, what a nice event. It was so good to see, the two of you. I don't get to see Glenn all the time. Glenn, so many of our colleagues came in for this one. What a nice party.
Yeah, great time. A lot of folks working in different parts of the country and across the continent, as a matter of fact, with Cale Clark in Canada. But great to see so many smiling faces, and everybody had a pretty good time. And I made sure to hang out with the folks from HR to make sure that I didn't get in trouble. I haven't heard anything too wild yet, but maybe it's been kept undercover. But the friendly family of Relevant Radio having a great Christmas.
Yes, Glenn. It was fun to see everyone face-to-face. Not everyone was able to come, as is the case, and I'm always excited to be able to sneak away from the responsibilities of parenthood for a night to see everybody, and it was lots of fun, and my husband was watching the kids, so I got to bring my sister, so that was exciting. She got to meet some people, and we got to eat a nice meal and have a good time talking with, and John, you were saying this earlier, just before we were on air, that just, you never get to see everybody, so
yeah.
It was a shame it wasn't a 7-hour party. We probably would have got to everybody by then.
It was a gourmet dinner. It was a wonderful night. My only regret is there's so many people to say hi to and to chat with, and it just wasn't enough time. I felt like we could have gone on for a few more hours, but I tell you, there was a few fun moments. Of course, Father Rocky was honored, and that was really special. And I think Tim Fox may have been the star of the night. He hit three putts in a row with Father Rocky's new present, so he can putt in his office. And he was quite amazing to be able to sink those putts under pressure with the whole Relevant Radio audience watching.
Well, I mean, he did say that his wife had given him some help, so it was a good thing that he didn't embarrass her with with missing some of those. But yes, it was a fun night, and again, just so much fun to see everybody.
Glenn, my favorite part of the night was the wacky bits at the end of the doubles. I didn't realize that Scott Hahn and Cale Clark have never been seen in the room at the same time.
Yes, the giant and extensive doppelganger contest found a lot of folks looking like other celebrities that work at Relevant Radio, including you, John. Many thought that you looked like Eric Estrada from Chips.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Yeah, I've been hearing that since I was a young guy, and Chips was on TV, actually. So that was funny. I was a little iffy on Father Rocky as George W.
Well, I think sometimes it depends on the angle of the picture and the facial expressions that you can kind of, that sometimes remind you of someone, but you know that is always a very fun thing to see. You know what you, I think personally, if someone says you look like someone, you never think you actually look like that person, but other people can see it. So that was a very interesting fun skit that they put on. So more for next year probably, so watch out if you weren't picked this year. They probably are working on trying to get you in the rotation for the next award, doppelganger
they
award
are. They are
absolutely. Meanwhile, just a couple of quick highlights of the news this morning, Glenn.
Oh, major winter storm starting out west this year. Nevada's blanketed with 3 to 6 feet of snow in some spots. So just west of Reno and to the south as well, getting hit very hard. That's going to move across the plains and a good chunk of the country over the coming few days. I know up to 10 inches possible in parts of the northern plains and more in some other spots. So be there aware this week. We're going to have maybe a white Christmas if that stuff hangs in across the northern half of the country for sure.
And one other note, as I drive into work, I always look at the prices of gas this morning. AAA is reporting that the national average of gas is now $3.26, down from $3.78 just a month ago. That's good news for all of us.
Yeah, it certainly is. And sometimes driving, goes down a little bit during the winter. So often we see prices drop a little bit. Some say there's still some lingering effects of sort of raiding the Strategic Petroleum Reserve before the election as well. And in the meantime, I think everybody likes, lower gas prices in their stocking at Christmas time.
That's definitely going to be a Merry Christmas for many, especially those who have long commutes, and I'm one of them, so I'm grateful for the lowering of the gas as long as it lasts.
Excellent. Well, amen to that. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn. We got a really wonderful show to honor Our Lady of Guadalupe planned for you today. And as always, we always begin in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And on this feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, for our Hispanic brothers and sisters, Dios te salve María, llena eres de gracia, el Señor es contigo. Bendita tú eres entre todas las mujeres y bendito es el fruto de tu vientre, Jesús. Santa María, Madre de Dios, ruega por nosotros los pecadores, ahora y en la hora de nuestra muerte. Amén. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Revelation 12:1. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Our Blessed Mother Mary, the same lady that appeared on this day at Tepeyac Hill in 1531 as Our Lady of Guadalupe, is the woman clothed with the sun. Mary's mission for over two millennia is always to lead us to her Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. She is the star of the new evangelization, our Queen Mother that says to us, do whatever he tells you, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We always pray with great confidence. The prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. On this special feast day that we're celebrating today, I want to share with you a special historical perspective based on the Nikkan Mopoa, the original story that was handed on by St. Juan Diego on the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
During the miraculous events that unfolded for 4 days in December of 1531, our Blessed Lord willed to meet mankind through His own Mother, Santa Maria de Guadalupe. At dawn on the morning of December 9, 1531, a humble, recent convert to the Catholic faith named Juan Diego was walking 9 miles on his way to attend Mass on the then Feast of the Immaculate Conception. As the 57-year-old Aztec Indian passed by the hill of Tepeyac just outside Mexico City, he heard the beautiful singing of birds which seemed to come from heaven. Juan Diego looked to see where the heavenly music was coming from when he suddenly heard a young woman's voice affectionately calling his name.
Juanito, Juan Dieguito.
Reaching the top of the hill, he encountered a beautiful dark-skinned woman surrounded by radiant light and music. Her clothes shine like the sun. Speaking in his own native Aztec language, he said,
"My dear little son, I love you. I desire you to know who I am. I am the ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God, who is the origin of all life, who creates all things and keeps them in being, the Lord of heaven and earth."
Our Lady told Juan Diego to go to the Bishop of Mexico City and request that a church be built where his people could experience her love and compassion. After being put off by the bishop's servants, Juan Diego was finally granted an audience with Franciscan Bishop Fray Juan Zumarraga. At first, the bishop didn't believe him and asked him to come back on another day. A disappointed Juan Diego returned to Tepeyac and asked Our Lady to use someone else more worthy than himself. She assured him that he was personally chosen to be her ambassador. The next day, he returned to plead with the bishop. Even though the bishop was impressed by Juan's persistence, the bishop was still not sure. He sent Juan Diego to tell the lady he needed a sign in order to know if it was truly her. After hearing the bishop's request, Our Lady told Juan to return the next day and she would give him the sign he needed. Returning home, Juan Diego found his uncle Juan Bernardino very ill and close to death. Instead of coming back the next day, Juan stayed home and took care of his ailing uncle. Early on December the 12th, Juan Diego returned to Mexico City to find a priest to administer the last rites to his dying uncle. On his way, he went around the back of Tepeyac Hill to avoid Our Lady. But she met him anyway, telling him not to worry, that his uncle was already healed. The Blessed Virgin said,
"My little son, do not be distressed and afraid. Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Your uncle will not die at this time."
Juan Diego was to learn later that at the moment Our Lady appeared to his uncle, he was restored to health. She urged Juan to go to the top of the hill, where he would find flowers miraculously growing. Juan was astonished to see so many vibrant Castilian roses despite the frost. He cut them and gathered them into his tilma or cloak. Our Lady arranged the flowers with her own hands, rolled up the tilma, and ordered Juan Diego not to open his tilma until he was in the presence of the bishop. After being harassed by the bishop's servants, Juan Diego was finally brought in to see him. After explaining all the details of his conversation with Our Lady, he let down his tilma and the roses fell to the floor. Juan was surprised when everyone in the room also went down on their knees. A life-size image of the Blessed Virgin Mary had miraculously appeared on Juan Diego's tilma. A teary-eyed and repentant Bishop Juan Zumarraga promised to build a shrine that Our Lady, Santa Maria de Guadalupe, had requested. In a short time, a chapel was built and the miraculous image was venerated by the faithful. The multitudes began to stream in to see the heavenly image and hear the story from Juan Diego himself. Many miracles started happening, and in the following 7 years, some 9 million natives were baptized and converted to Jesus Christ because of the faith of Juan Diego and the miracle of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Now, of all the many Marian apparitions throughout the centuries, only Our Lady of Guadalupe appears to us clearly as the patroness of the unborn in a matter of a pregnant Blessed Mother. I spoke to national pro-life leader Astrid Bennett Gutierrez from Los Angeles about the significance of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the unborn. Astrid is the president of the VIDA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services, which provides support for the women of LA who are primarily Hispanic. Here's my conversation with Astrid Bennett Gutierrez. Good morning, Astrid. Bienvenida. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you from LA. It's early out there. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Hello, John. Muchas gracias. I really appreciate this opportunity. What a joyous occasion to be greeting the relevant radio audience. This is such an important feast for the pro-life movement, for our nation, We are in such a pivotal moment in our history. We feel our Blessed Mother's intercession at this time. You know, we had an incredible last week for the pro-life movement. We really feel the culture of death is really being dealt a tremendous blow. We know that it is our Blessed Mother who has us under her motherly protection and intercession, who is fighting with us. So this Sunday, which is her feast day as well, the 12th of December, Our Lady of Guadalupe, we're going to thank her and rejoice with her these graces and just be ever, ever hopeful. She's fighting with us hand in hand towards victory, the victory that her son has already won for us against death.
Absolutely. We are with you. And Astrid, you have been on the front lines for such a long time, defending life, promoting life, helping women over the years with your vocation in the pro-life movement. What does Our Lady of Guadalupe mean for you deep down in your heart? What does she mean for you personally? And what does she mean for the Mexican people?
She signifies hope. That is the word that I can give to you, because she literally carries hope within her womb. The image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, she is pregnant with our unborn Jesus Savior. So we look to her and as our hope, but also as our model. Who is she? As we contemplate her image, we see an image of tenderness. We see an image of full of reverence for the life within her, reverence for God. And she is his handmaid. Her humility, her simplicity, her faith, and her hands in prayer. So for us, and for me personally, she is just the model, and she is the one that we hope to emulate, as she emulates her son, as she brings her prayers to her son. So in the pro-life movement, I think looking at her image, words fail, obviously, to describe what she means. And I think she's just a glimpse of heaven is really what she is for us who are in this valley of tears. But we are fighting the good fight, as St. Paul says, towards victory, towards an end to abortion and all the evils that abortion has wrought, not only the killing of the unborn, but we know that there's so many more evils that have come with the culture of death, euthanasia, prostitution, child abuse, contraception being the probably the thing that has led us to this terrible downfall in the family. So I think that she is someone that naturally pro-lifers should look to. And also the image brings hope, John, to the woman who was pregnant and fearful, to look at the Blessed Mother and her faith and her trust. I think it fills the woman who is in crisis with courage against the tide of temptation to have an abortion, which is prevalent, unfortunately. If we bring a woman close to the Blessed Mother, if we allow her to contemplate the Blessed Mother's countenance, her faith, her trust, and also tell her the truth, tell this woman that she is blessed, that she just needs to trust God, that blessings will come. I think that is our role. And so the image of our Blessed Mother emboldens the pro-lifer and fills the woman in crisis, a pregnant woman in crisis, with courage.
And Astrid, it is that image, that miraculous image of Our Lady Guadalupe in the Mexican capital that attracts millions, as many as 10 million to Mexico City every year. A huge crowd is expected this year after we've been waiting all this time because of the pandemic, as well as in Chicago. They're expecting 200,000-300,000 pilgrims. San Antonio has big celebrations and many other places across the country. How is the Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe being celebrated in Los Angeles?
Since I was a child, and I was born in LA, raised in LA. Since I was a child, Guadalupanos, we don't sleep. So it's a celebration from the day before. Children are used to it. We're out there, you know, it's pretty chilly here in in LA in December, not as bad as Chicago, but it's pretty cold for a child. And it was just something so emotional and so exciting to be there singing to our Blessed Mother the traditional mañanitas, which is the greeting that we sing to her with full mariachi through the night. It's beautiful. So celebrations have begun here since yesterday in parishes all over Los Angeles, the cathedral as well. And the tradition really is to sing to her at dawn. So at dawn, around this time right now, many parishes are beginning to play beautiful greetings and music to our Blessed Mother. And you just see the outpouring of love, of people coming to just give her all of our cares and concerns and just to thank her for the blessings and just to fill our hearts with hope for the coming year. She is the mother that our Lord has given us. What a gift. So that's something very, very beautiful. I don't think it's only a thing for Mexicans. I think it's something throughout the Americas, and I hope throughout the world, and definitely in the pro-life movement, we have a very special love for her.
Absolutely. We're joined this morning by Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, live from Los Angeles, California. She's a national pro-life leader, president of the Vida Initiative, and executive director of LA Pregnancy Services. Astrid, we know that Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the Americas. She's also, by the way, the patroness of Relevant Radio. But why is she the patroness of the unborn and of the pro-life movement?
You know, it's so natural to adopt her as our patroness, as our protectress, because she carries the unborn Jesus in her womb. So this is something that even before she was declared the patroness of the unborn by John Paul II in 1999 in Mexico, very appropriately, in one of his visits, she was already adopted as the one who intercedes for us, who carries literally within her the child Jesus, and signifying that the child is the hope. The child is the future of any civilization, and that the family is foundational for society. And she carries that image literally within her. So that is why she is so important. We know the Blessed Mother in the Book of Apocalypse, you know, she is the one who crushes the head of Satan, and that is what abortion is.
The woman clothed with the sun with 12 stars over her head, which we see in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Astrid, let's ask our audience, especially if you're not driving, close your eyes for just a moment. And Astrid, can you describe for us this miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and how she holds the unborn baby Jesus in her womb?
I'm looking at her right now, this image. Is found in many pro-life centers throughout the world. And she is so meaningful to us, and she's so meaningful to the woman going through a difficult moment, pregnant and scared. And looking at her image, the first thing that comes to mind is the beautiful, kind, gentle tenderness of her face. And she is bowing in reverence to God. She is a child of God, as we all are, and she is filled with faith, and she's filled with peace, and she's inviting each of us and the woman who is pregnant and scared to trust as she is trusting, and to be reverent to God and to the unborn child that she carries within her. She has a black ribbon, which signifies to the indigenous people of pregnancy. So she is pregnant with the unborn Jesus and with hope. This is the hope that she communicates to the women in crisis. She says, "Am I not here that I'm your mother?" She understands the woman in crisis. She understands every person that is suffering through trials. And she invites us to trust the way that she trusted in God. And that's the message of our Blessed Mother. Father Paul Marx, may he rest in peace, said that only through the heart of a mother so benevolent and powerful can we hope to achieve our blessed goals of ending abortion, you know, of becoming saints. This is what we ask of our Blessed Mother. We entrust our nation We entrust the pro-life movement and our goals and our mission to rescue the unborn, to bring an end to abortion in our nation, which has been the biggest scourge in our nation and in the world. Our Blessed Mother gives us that hope. So I invite you today to contemplate that image. Have that image available when you're doing your pro-life work. Bring her to the abortion centers. Let her just shine her message. There are no words needed to shine that beautiful message of hope. Many women will see her and recognize who she is and what she signifies. She has rescued so many lives, John. She's really, truly powerful and working miracles even today.
Absolutely. Well, you can open up your eyes now. What a beautiful description, Astrid. My goodness, you know, we have such a special devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. We have her here in studio, here in our Chicago Relevant Radio studios. She's the patroness of our network, and in fact, our license was received on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe back in the year 2000. So she's such an important part. But when you look at the image, there's so much that we could talk. We could do hours talking about just the image. One thing that strikes me is that she's mestiza. She's neither white like the Spaniards nor dark like the Indians. She's kind of a combination of both. And I think this speaks to why she's not only the patroness of Mexico, but of all the Americas, really of all mankind.
Yes, she is. She has a universality about her, which speaks to any race. There's also something very otherworldly about her. This is a divine image. It's a miraculous image. It's unexplainable how it has not decomposed in so many centuries. For the first 116 years, that image was not protected by any glass. For 116 years, it survived, and then it has survived a bomb. It has survived acid being thrown on it. I mean, it's something so incredible to understand that this image is from heaven. The painter is God himself, and he has given us this universal image for all of us to understand that we're all called to be saints. We're all called to come home to heaven, which is the home for all of us.
And that was my fabulous conversation on Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of the unborn, with our good friend, Morning Air contributor Astrid Bennett Gutierrez, the president of the VITA Initiative and executive director of Los Angeles Pregnancy Services. We need to take a short break. When we come back, Catholic author and Morning Air contributor Emily Jaminet will share some practical steps to encountering Christ this Christmas. Stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air.
Jump into the conversation. Call 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, again, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, on this Monday in the third week of Advent, as we approach the final stretch of Advent and continue to prepare ourselves to celebrate Christmas, our next guest will help us to put our attention on the real meaning of Christmas based on the love of Christ. Jesus desires to set our hearts and homes on fire with his perfect love. Now joining us live from Columbus, Ohio, is Morning Air regular contributor Emily Jaminet to share some practical steps to encountering Christ this Christmas. Emily is a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, wife, podcaster, and the mother of 7 children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Her most recent award-winning book is titled Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus' Promises in Your Life. She can be found at EmilyJaminet.com. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again, especially today. A happy feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Good morning, John. What a special occasion it is to celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe. And, you know, for us as Catholics, there's so much richness in this season of Advent. But the world is oftentimes very much in merriment of Christmas. So figuring out how to balance it all, how to really embrace. And for me as a mom of seven, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of stress that can creep in if we don't keep Christ truly at the center.
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, just thinking of all the Christmas lists and the presents that we have to buy, and just all the stuff that's going on here during the Advent season. It's easy to forget what really matters. How can we give our heart to Jesus during this Advent and Christmas season?
Well, recently I've been doing some parish missions with women and reminding them of the importance of keeping Christ in Christmas. And there's some simple suggestions I've put together to help your listeners and even myself as well. But to remember that we can't do it on our own love. We can't wish that love in our heart. We have to ask Christ into our heart so that we can be that vessel to pour forth and to be a witness, not only to our neighbors and those in the community, but even to our very family members who long for that love, the perfect love that only Christ can give us.
You know, Emily, putting Christ in Christmas is not just a slogan. It's something that we really consciously want to do. When I, turn on the TV and you see a lot of these so-called Christmas specials and shows, and there's, a lot of them are a lot of fun and wacky and everything, but they're really not about Christ. You know, there's no mention of Christ in many of these Christmas shows. So I really appreciate you bringing your perspective and some of your suggestions to the table here on the show this morning.
Well, I think you bring up a great point, John, and that is keeping our spiritual radar up. And there are some times when the music is downright inappropriately not about Christmas, and even pointing out to your children, that has nothing to do with what this day is about. Or, sorry, guys, we're not going to actually watch that Christmas program because it has nothing to do even with the morals that we keep as Catholics. So having our spiritual radar up and knowing what is about Christmas and what isn't, and yet at the same time continuing some of the traditions and joy that might take place with stockings and even Santa. But what does that look like through the gift of discernment? Asking the Holy Spirit to help us can make a big difference in passing on. It's ultimately about passing on the torch of faith from one generation to the next and being an example. So you definitely covered such an important point of not letting secular Christmas creep in or even take over the Christmas season.
Well, you wrote a fabulous article on your website at emilyjamlet.com, 10 Ways to Keep Christ in Christmas This Year. Want to kind of work our way through some of the different suggestions. And let's begin with Holy Mother Church. Our church has a lot to teach us, a lot to guide us.
It really does. Look to the church to know where we are. She's the lighthouse keeping us grounded. And with that, I mean, we are in the season of Advent. This is a time to, make sure that you go to reconciliation, encourage your children to go to reconciliation, to say, this is a season of penance. What can I offer up? Maybe there's a great work of mercy you can get involved in right in your own parish. I know we have many wonderful things such as coordinating food for the open shelter, assisting with many different community outlets. But it's not just about doing, right? It's about cultivating that heart. So for many Catholics, it's also about getting back to the sacraments, getting back to church, getting back to consistent Mass after reconciliation. And also, you can go to Mass during the week as well.
For sure. And, you remind me that, of Father Rocky's words that he has said so many times over the years during the Advent season. If you do nothing else during Advent, find a way to get to confession. You want to have a happy, merry Christmas? Go to confession.
I really like that. And as my kids are involved in Catholic schools and, a lot of times I see families just being so distracted that they're forgetting the importance of living out the faith in the liturgical season. So it's a great way to invite other families to make sure that Mass is on their schedule as well.
What about just slowing down the pace?
Wow. Isn't that something that we have to, in this day and age, we have to put it on paper. We have to talk about the importance of slowing the pace down. And that's one reason why in my home, I not only have the Christmas tree lit up with twinkle lights, but I even have the mantles done and some Christmas lights near my manger in my front room. And I love to turn the lights down literally in the evening so that the children can understand that, you know, we're in a different season. We need to slow the pace down, turning off the Sunday night football, even though, you know, telling the kids it's a little bit of a sacrifice, but it's important that we keep our eyes on Christ, gathering in prayer and spending time with the King of Kings. And for me, my morning begins with morning prayer in the midst of the twinkle lights. That's a great way to slow down your pace.
Jesus is God and God is love. Can you talk about the importance of focusing on the love of Jesus as we prepare for Christmas?
One of the many roles I share is also assisting and instructing at RCIA here at my local parish. And one of the things I realize is the greatest challenge is not just to instruct them well and provide them all the head knowledge about the faith, the catechesis, but to recognize that this is just as much about converting our own hearts. And so that's where the throne is Jesus wants to be in our heart. That's where the kingdom lives. So allowing Christ into your heart, encountering that perfect love. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote Secrets of the Sacred Heart, is so that people could see that Christ's love, he loves us so much that he literally appeared in 1670 to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque with his heart outside of his body, letting people know that his heart is full of love. It loves so much. And what does he want? He wants us to show him love in return. So allow his love to transform your life and not make your faith just about faith knowledge, head knowledge, but allow it to impact your heart so that we can all grow in holiness.
I want to invite our early bird listeners here on this Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe. If you want to be part of our conversation on some practical ways of encountering Christ this Christmas, of keeping Christ in Christmas, we'd love your thoughts. We're taking your calls for Catholic author Emily Geminit at 888-914-9149. If you want to share maybe some of your own traditions of how you can keep focused on Jesus here, the reason for the season, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Emily. Stay with us. There's more to come on the other side. Triple eight nine one four nine one four nine is the number if you want to be part of our conversation this morning. We're talking about practical steps to encountering Christ during this Advent season in anticipation of Christmas. How to keep Christ in Christmas, as we continue our discussion with our good friend, Morning Air contributor, Emily Geminit, who is also an outstanding Catholic author. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you, John. I think this is such an important question. And for us as Catholic parents, you know, we are the gatekeeper to the type of Christmas experience our children have. It can't just be about Santa Claus and elves and all these mythical characters that have nothing to do with the real meaning of Jesus and his beautiful birth. So, you know, another important piece is, do you have a manger scene? You know, do you have that place in which the children can learn the story of Jesus is so important. I have a special box also of wonderful children's books that I've been collecting for many years now, 23 years, where each year I pull out the children's books and I put them away for each holy day. If it's Easter, if it's Christmas, if it's, you know, even saint days, and so that my children can know the real faith. I'm not just relying on my Catholic schools, but I'm going out of my way to pass that on. And this year, many of the Christmas stories, John, were read to my youngest at a swim meet I was attending the other day. So it might be like me, a mom on the go.
Wow, at a swim meet. I guess you can think and meditate about Jesus here during Advent just about anywhere, even at a sporting event. You know, we mentioned it earlier, you know, there's so many distractions out there during this time of year with all the music and all the traditions and the decorations and the TV shows. How important is it to really make an effort to look for Jesus, consciously trying to focus on the reason for the season?
Well, I think it's really important for us as Catholics is to notice even which businesses in your community are celebrating, are truly celebrating, or even have religious images such as the manger scene. I know my Christmas cards, I was so excited when I found a Christmas card with Christ on the front. You know, that was something that was on a priority, where I was going to spend my money, what I was going to purchase, and making sure that my greater community knew that I was sending these cards. It was about the faith. And, you know, John, I was at the post office. I was standing in line a few weeks ago, and I was in line to get the beautiful stamp with the mother and child on it. And as I was waiting, I heard two women behind me say, you know, talking about what stamps they were going to get. And one said, oh, surely I'm not going to get the mother and child because I don't want to offend the people I'm sending Christmas cards to. And I thought of the irony of that statement.
What is the reason for the season?
And your friends are not going to be offended by a beautiful stamp that tells them the great news of Jesus's birth. So it's getting past these little lies that the devil has put into our mind, and no one's going to be offended by, you know, your Christmas card stamp as you sent a message of love. So I think that's important for us as Catholics is to affirm our faith, to pass it on with love. And, you know, the other thing, John, is I've seen a lot of people hurting this Christmas season. It's for many, it's a time of loneliness. It's a time of even some reminding of some pain. One of the women said, my feelings were so hurt. I went to a church event the other day and I set up the whole thing and nobody sat next to me. And it hurt my heart. And I know those little hurts are exactly what Jesus wants us to bring to him in prayer. He has the most wounded heart, and from his wounded heart, he heals. So allow this to be a season not only of going to reconciliation, but who do we need to forgive? What do we want to bring Christ that Christmas morning? It might be a one big I forgive you, or I'm bringing about reconciliation amongst family members, facilitating that peace and helping to strengthen your family for the new year. All these things have such a value in the eyes of Christ.
Emily, we have time to squeeze a quick call here. Patty is joining us from Ontario, Canada. Good morning, Patty. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning. Great to be here. My comments are just little suggestions the Holy Spirit gave me when I had grandchildren for Christmas to bring Jesus back. One is a Jesus birthday cake, happy birthday, Jesus, with candles to blow out and get rid of the traditional Christmas desserts and get the birthday cake for Jesus. The next one is the idea that we all have little creches. So I made sure that I have three grandchildren, three creches, and on Christmas morning when they're opening gifts, they get a little package and they each get a different little baby Jesus. The same one each year, the same three get wrapped up every year. And then they have to go throughout the house and find where that particular stable is and put the baby Jesus they unwrapped into the creche. So those two little things that just make us all think of Jesus more.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Patty. I really appreciate those suggestions. Emily, your thoughts?
Well, Patty, what great suggestions. And you reminded me of a family story. We all get together. There's 20 grandchildren in my family. So we go to my parents' house. And there was a year that not one manger scene had a single Jesus because my mom misplaced where she put all the little images of Christ, you know, all for the manger scene. So my brother, being a Catholic priest, was like, we have got to find Jesus. It's Christmas. So we all searched and we did find him to get in the manger scene. But my mom has always laughed over the year that happened. But I do think it's a great, great reminder to put our eyes back on Jesus. And we sing happy birthday as well in our family when we're with my husband's side of the family. So I love these traditions of keeping Christ in Christmas and passing on, especially to the grandchildren. This is our time to really reiterate the importance of our Catholic faith.
Well, Emily, time is running out. Your final thoughts here from the heart, some additional suggestions, maybe perhaps beginning with the importance of the family table.
You know, the family table, this is the time to clean off the table, whatever's on there, and decide, you know, as you meal plan, prayer plan. You make sure that your day revolves around giving thanks, a day of great gratitude. You know, maybe there's a special family prayer you pray every year, but I love when my dad and my husband and myself, different key peoples in our family, wherever we are, we give testimony to the love of Christ and proclaim that to all the children, everyone present, that this day is about Jesus. So it's prayer and even testimony. But a great meal sure makes a big difference as well to slow that pace down.
Absolutely. And just meditating on some of the scriptures here during Advent to really prepare our hearts, maybe even doing a Christmas novena in anticipation of Christmas Day. Real quick, about 30 seconds.
Well, thank you for reminding, you know, that spiritual preparation is just as important, John, as the physical. It's not just, again, about the wrapping of the presents. It's about preparing our hearts and preparing our family to really be set on fire with the love of Christ. And if your Christmas isn't going great with materialism, always do that spiritual reset and refocus everyone on the true meaning of Jesus's birth.
Thanks so much, Emily. Really, really appreciate it. Blessed Advent, Merry Christmas. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much.
Emily Jaminet, the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Innkeever by O.M. Keeve. Yes, they came to my inn at Bethlehem. How well I remember the couple, it seems, but yesterday. He was a manly sort of man, the kind that would cause you to look again if you saw him once. Kindly and dignified, with a long beard, a strong man with a quiet manner. There was something that charmed me about the woman who was with him. Well, I just can't tell you anyway, one could see that she might soon become a mother. It rather worried me I didn't have a place for them, but so many had come for the registration, you know. Sanballat, the rich merchant, had come down from Damascus. Thaddeus, one of my old customers, had come up from Gaza. A party from Hebron came just at nightfall, and since I knew them all, I could not turn them away. Joseph told me that he was from Nazareth, up in the hill country of Galilee. He thought, of course, he could have a place to stay, and as he asked me, I looked toward Mary, and I knew that I'd understand. I did understand, but I tried to think which of the men I could ask to move and make a place for the couple. But how could I ask these customers of mine to inconvenience themselves? After all, I did not know Joseph and Mary. I said to myself, well, somebody will look after them. I must not disturb the others, and it's a beautiful starlit night. Ah, here I have it, I finally said to myself. We can make room for them in the manger, and some way they'll get along. I've wondered a lot about them since they've gone. He was a manly sort of man with his long beard and dignified look and quiet manners, and the woman, she was like a princess. I wish now I'd said to the men in my inn, we must make a place for this man and woman from Galilee. But I didn't, and I'm sorry. After all, they might have been people of consequence. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will continue his series on the sacraments with a continuation of our discussion on holy matrimony and the teachings of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And our very own Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, will join us live to discuss the significance of today's feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Stay with us. We are just warming up this morning. There's much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.